Hallelujah. Welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and to thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 a.m. for a wee cuppa, followed by worship from 11. You can also connect with us via our Facebook page, Exchange Church Belfast, our Twitter at Exchange Church, our Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, and our website, of course, exchangechurchbelfast.com. And it would be great to hear from you. Now, over to this week's talk.
Here's what I said a couple of weeks ago. I said that it's amazing what God is doing. I love that. When Billy told me that story during the week, and it actually really touched me. Because I thought, isn't that what this is about? You know, does anyone ever get bored just listening to yourself talk about yourself at times? Oh, sweet Lord above. If you haven't got there, you will get there very shortly, where you just get sick of, sometimes just sick of the same old. No? Well, I do at times. I kind of go, Lord. And then, you know, because this gospel was never about just me and mine. It was about us finding our place, discovering why God has given us breath, discovering why God has given us purpose, and saying, you know what? You have the power to literally change somebody's life and destiny. Is that not phenomenal? And when we hear that story and that testimony of Jamie this morning, you know, you just think, there's a fellow who has experienced the power of God, has had good seed sown into his life, and what the fruit of it is, he now sees his daughter. All right? Well, the enemy tries to kill and destroy. The Lord said, I came to destroy the works of the devil, and the evil, whoever he is, all right? Came to destroy the works of the devil. And that was easy for me. I'm breaking these in for a friend. But he came to destroy the works of the devil. You know, and there's nothing better than seeing that in somebody's life, is there? Isn't it incredible? So we just honor what the Lord's doing in Jamie's life, and we pray that he will see that transformation as he accepts Jesus. Amen, church? Because that's what this gospel is all about. It's good news. And what I'm going to tell you this morning, it's good news for you. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what you've been going through, but anytime you encounter Jesus, you walk away different. In worship this morning, we've encountered Jesus as we fixed our eyes on him. And anytime we encounter Jesus, if we're open, you will receive. So are we open this morning to receive his word? Amen. It's going to be good. I want to say that I have been encouraged by what the Lord is doing around Europe, and I spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to continue in that sort of vein this morning, because what I said a couple of weeks ago was, when we looked at the Sermon on the Mount very briefly, I said that it's impossible for you to please God in yourself. So if you're trying to please God, just stop, because it's impossible. You'll never do it. He'll never be pleased with you in your own effort. And it's interesting that what Jesus actually pointed this out in one of the big bits, the big narratives of the Bible, when he was talking on the Sermon on the Mount. And I was told for many years, this is what it's like. If you're a proper Christian, it will look like this. And I was thinking, oh man, I'm screwed completely. Like every single day, before I even get out of bed, I'm knackered. You know, because I've thought naughty thoughts, and I've thought about people, and I've thought about killing people, and I've thought about being frustrated, and I've thought, and then my feet haven't even touched the floor, and I'm thinking, there's another day. Maybe tomorrow, Lord, it'll all be better. And what we understand through the lens of grace, and what God is doing in Europe, and we are part of that, church. Look at us this morning. We're part of what God is doing in Europe and beyond. It's exciting. It's really exciting. But you know what's even more exciting? What's more exciting for me is that we get people to encounter this message where, instead of going, you need to try harder for God. God's kind of disappointed, and God's not really kind of going to bless you that much, or you're not going to see that much favor in your life because. And we look at Jesus through the lens of grace, and we go, he wasn't even trying to say live up to this standard. He was saying you will never do it. He was saying, honestly, if there's anything in you today that goes, well, whatever you, as when you go back to Exodus, whatever you give us, Lord, we can do it. If there's anything in you that responds that way to the Lord, he goes, really? Let me just raise the bar for you. Okay? How do you feel about this? Okay, so you've said you've never murdered. Brilliant. Have you ever been angry? Oh, every eye closed, every head bowed. I was angry this morning. You know? Go figure. Only a wee tiny bit, but it doesn't matter. I messed it up already. Da, under the law, kaput. You know? That's German for done or something. All right? So many languages in there that you just all come out at the same. Kaput. I think it's German for that. If it's a naughty German word, I'm really sorry. because that could be really awkward. But it's interesting. And so I got to think, and I was thinking, because I really want to talk about one story today, which I referenced earlier on the year, but it was on my heart this week, because I was thinking about what Billy was going to say, and I was thinking about the people in your life. I was thinking about the people who you know, because it's one thing for people who are Christians, who have accepted Jesus to be under law, and we want them to find freedom. But I find a lot of people today don't even consider Jesus. So what's this gospel of grace for people who don't even consider Jesus? And sometimes we forget, actually, that whether or not people realize it or know it, that actually people need Jesus. They're sick without him. And that's why this is such very, very good news. Very, very good news. And sometimes in the West, and sometimes even in Belfast, we're a prosperous city. We've got good stuff going on. Most of us, look, I mean, you're all doing pretty well. Isn't that right? Amen. Nobody's starving this morning. You all had breakfast in your bellies. We're all doing pretty good. All right? And sometimes, even in the church, we forget the power of this message that we sit in. And Paul said, look, I'm not ashamed of this message, because it is the power of God. It is the power of God. The deepest human need is to connect with the one who made them. And nothing will satisfy. And I want to show you a story this morning of how God's unbelievable grace just in situations which are real life. My dad had a fairly major op this week, which wasn't great. And, you know, would appreciate your prayer still, because it's just a wee bit dicey. But he's on the way up, which is good. And it's interesting that as I was sitting looking at him in the intensive care unit on Wednesday, I felt like if this gospel of grace right now, in moments like this, doesn't make one bit of difference to me, I bet I'm going to take up golf on a Sunday. Seriously. Isn't that right? It's like I'm sitting here. I'm going to say I spout every Sunday. I preach the word every Sunday, right? I know you're thinking it, but I'm going to say it. I preach such great words every Sunday. And here I am confronted. And it says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin, death shall not have dominion over you, because you're not under law. You're under grace. I'm going, what does it mean right now, Lord? Sickness will not have dominion over you, because you're not under law. You're under grace. Can I say that again? Fear shall not have dominion over you, because you're not under the penalty of law. You're under his favor. That's another way of saying grace. What is it in your life where you go, this will not have any authority over me, because as a son, I am under his favor. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I felt the Lord start to encourage me as I was sitting holding my dad's hand. And the Lord said, just start to speak out over him. As I am today, so is he, because he's a son. And I started to go, well, Lord, you know what? Your heart's perfect, so's his. Your circulation's perfect, Lord. You're not struggling this morning. As he is, you are, so is he in this world. Isn't that good? And starting to go, this is the power of the gospel. This is the power of the... And from a white-knuckle ride on Wednesday, all right, went to see him again last night, he's on the way up. And the doctors are going, he's going to be fine. All right, give us a wee bit of a scare, but hey, do you know what? He's going to be fine. He's one of those ones, when doctors go, this very rarely happens. Well, every day, it very rarely happens, has happened to my dad, which is interesting. You go, oh, 1 in 4, it's going to be him, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, but actually in the middle of it all, you see the power of God. That's the gospel. Real life people, real life situations, real life hope. If you need that today, come and receive it. Not from me. Can I just say that the Lord honors his word with signs and wonders? He doesn't honor me as the preacher. He doesn't honor my good performance. He honors his word, and he backs it up with signs and wonders. So if you need a sign and a wonder in your life today, as I give you the word and the gospel of grace this morning, receive it. Okay? Receive that hope. Receive that faith. Receive that revelation of Jesus, and he will back up his word with signs and wonders. Amen? Awesome. So let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Because one of the things that is awesome here is that one of the things that I love about this gospel, and if you're in need this morning, let me tell you something. Come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. Hamartia is the word for sin. And in the Bible, it's a noun. So in the book of Romans, as an example, the word sin is used 49 times. But 47 times, hamartia refers to a noun. It's who you are, not what you do. But religion tells us what you do is the issue. And actually, Jesus goes, no, that was never the issue, because everything that you do is simply the fruit of who you are. So when you see yourself as righteous and holy, you'll start to live that way. If you see yourself as a sinner, you'll live like a sinner. But whenever I transformed you and changed you, the Lord said, you stopped being a sinner and you were transformed into a saint, right? Perfectly righteous and holy, forever sealed with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? And so he says, it's not about being sin conscious, it's about being Jesus conscious. It's about being righteousness conscious. That's what this is all about. And I've got to tell you that I want to show you in this story this morning how this gospel, whenever you, no matter who you bring, no matter what your situation is, no matter where they're at, when they are confronted with Jesus, they will be changed. You will be changed this morning. Is this good? Oh, I'm encouraged. So it's a woman who has the issue of blood. Let's read it. And there was a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and he had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather she grew worse. Just stop there for 1 minute. This is always slightly embarrassing for a man, but this was like a period thing, okay? And it was really not good. So we just have to say that because I need to be real life, because I'm going to show you actually what was really going on in the context. Because we go, oh, there's a woman with an issue of blood. Skip on, because that's awkward. But what was, isn't it, for men anyway? So what was it like? We need to understand that the impact that this would have had on this woman was something incredible. And here's the thing, years after years after years after years, it doesn't get better. It's not getting better. We're going to learn more about this woman in just a minute. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Every time you retouch his garment, okay, it's about authority. So in those days, rabbis would have worn nice cloaks. People who were had authority, but in this sense, Jesus, we're looking at him, they had good quality garments, and around the bottom, the hems, that was all about authority. You know in the story of Boaz, where she goes under his cloak and stuff like that? So there's a picture of authority, and reaching out to touch the hem means I'm reaching out for his authority. So that's just what that means. I'm going to come back to it, probably. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I'll be made well. Because that's why she was reaching out. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt it in her body. And she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? I mean, this is a preacher's dream. It's hard to mess this one up. But the simple point is, sometimes in the crowd, we forget actually that Jesus knows us all, and he knows every need that we have. And sometimes we look around and we think, well, you know, it's they'll receive from the Lord and they'll receive from the Lord, but the Lord knows exactly what's going on with you today, okay? You're not lost in a crowd this morning. He knows every hair on your head. He's counted every hair on your head. He knows every need, every thought, and you're not lost to him. Is that okay? So if you're sitting here this morning, he knows. And there's everything that you need in him for you today. But he looked around to see what who had done that. But the woman, knowing what had happened, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Now go in peace and be healed of your disease. Let me just tell you a little bit about this woman, because it's such a simple point. You know, I find myself continually struggling, not with difficult things when it comes to the word, but the most simple thing. The most simple thing is this: Jesus loves me every day. He just loves me. And the more I try, not even wrestle with that, but the more I go, in all of this, if I don't know that I'm loved as a son, despite my feelings and my mess, then I have nothing. Jesus loves me, this I know, is the most deeply profound, yet the most challenging thing that I find goes on in my heart, to stay in that place. Because for this woman, it was really interesting. You might think about people who you know, or you might sort of recognize some of this in yourself. It says in verse 25, this woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, first thing I'd say is this: this woman had a debilitating condition. Now, it was physical. The unnamed woman, because we don't know her name, probably, it's probably doctors think menomotrogygia, something like that, some woman's thing. And so basically, it was a regular and frequent uterine bleeding. I'm going to get really, because I want you to understand what happens. It's probably a hormonal imbalance, because we see the same thing happening in women today. And it could be something like fibroids. That's what was going on with this woman. So real life stuff, not just that, oh, she had an issue. Now, what's interesting is that the result of frequent, but not constant bleeding, but frequent bleeding, probably meant that this woman was anemic. So she was really, really tired. She was weak. She would have probably been depressed and would have suffered from headaches. That was her life for 12 years. Now, it's interesting. So this condition for her was completely debilitating. You know, you might not have a physical condition today, but the gospel is good news for any condition. So some people have guilt and fear and anxiety and worry, which leads them to be debilitated, low self-esteem, discontent, emptiness, weakness, whatever it happens to be. At best, we know that we want to be all that we can be, but in ourselves, we're powerless to make it happen. And so therefore, we feel debilitated. So there's something in this woman that we see in her physical condition mirrors something of what it's like. And this is why the gospel and Jesus is such good news, because I love what he does. She was also humiliated. In Leviticus 15, 19 through 30, what we read is that the law made things very difficult. Now listen, this is very carefully, because what you see Jesus do is bust it completely. He really messes with their heads. In Leviticus 15, what we're saying is a woman with uterine bleeding life just would have been completely difficult. Let me tell you why. She was unclean every time she was bleeding. And this was constant, not constant, but very, very frequent for her. But the thing is, even if she stopped bleeding for 7 days after she stops bleeding, she's still unclean. So can you imagine what that's like? I've stopped bleeding, but for the next week, I'm still unclean. Now, to be unclean meant that you could not have any contact. I'll explain it to you in a minute. Let me just read Leviticus 15:31. Thus, the Lord said, you shall keep all the people of Israel separate from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness by defiling my tabernacle that is in their midst. So it's interesting that anyone who touched a hemorrhaging woman or came into contact with her or her bedclothes or whatever she sat herself on or touched, okay? So all she had to do was touch it. Whoever came across that, okay, was completely unclean too. That would have made married life very difficult. It would have made any kind of social interaction nearly impossible. And it would have meant that she was absolutely barred from going to the synagogue. There's no way she could have gone to the synagogue, the place where she could have met God. So the woman who comes and she touches Jesus, in the middle of it all, is living quite a lonely life. And we don't see that in the detail, but we need to understand what's going on, because I know many people live quite a lonely life today. Because when you have low self-esteem and when you live with anxiousness and fear and depression and sickness, it's not only debilitating, but it can be humiliating. And it makes people lonely. And we have the power of the gospel. We have the power of the gospel. This is flipping good news. I mean, I've seen this week serious illness can be, in one sense, humiliating. You know, certainly to be our failure to be what we know we should be and could be is humiliating. Whether it's failure to be good enough, failure to be happy, failure, you know, whatever, we become preoccupied by our faults and our failures and unhappiness. And actually what that does is that has an adverse effect on how we relate to God and to each other. That was the effect of this bleeding. She had an issue of blood, we read. Really, what was that really like? So we see that it debilitates, it humiliates. The other thing is it was long-lasting. We're told here in verse 26 that she had spent 12 years. So it's not a bit of wonder that this woman was getting desperate, because she comes into the crowd unclean to find Jesus. She was in big trouble, okay? Because she wouldn't have done that, because unclean had to be separated, and there was a risk of death for her to do this. So she's getting desperate. There's something going on in her inner track, which is like, I need help. But if you think anemic, tired, depressed, bleeding, that's the physical stuff. That's hard enough today to deal with. But then when you put on the condemnation of society and the law that goes, you're also, on top of all that physical stuff, all right? You're also separated because you are unclean, meant that you were a sinner. You're no good. So it was the weight of condemnation on top of it. It's unbelievable. I see that today. I think people, in their unease and emptiness and insecurity, sometimes they pass through that for such a long time, and it just becomes part of who they are. She was also impoverished, the word says. She had spent all that she had, Mark 5:26. So the woman here with this issue of bleeding, now she wasn't without financial resource, and what we see over the period of her life, that she had resource, she had tried a multiplicity of cures. We're told that. And there was no shortage of cures in those days. The doctors may have had limited knowledge, but apparently they were very enthusiastic in getting people to part with their money. Okay, not saying anything. So an example, can I give you an example of what this woman would have been prescribed? Let's see how you would get on if you were anemic with this. Azusa of Gum Alexandria, alum and crocus hortensis, bruised and added to some wine. We'll take some money for that, and if that doesn't work, we'll give you something else. Crazy, isn't it? I suppose that's where they were at those days. But isn't it funny that today, you and I know people, and maybe ourselves, and we try all sorts of things. We go to therapy, chemicals, self-help, pleasure, self-indulgence, ceaseless work, all that activity. Some people just go for alternative religion and all that bonkers stuff that's out there. Some people, like this sick woman, try all of those things, but at the end of the day, it doesn't make them better. Have you tried that? Have you tried the self-help? Have you tried the trying your own thing? Have you tried all these different, you know, opinions and all the rest of it? And still at the end, there's something in your heart which goes, this isn't better. You know, Spurgeon, actually, I was reading a bit of Spurgeon. How cool does that sound? I was reading Spurgeon this week. Actually, I was on the internet and somebody else had read Spurgeon and just told me what he said. So I'm just going to be really honest, lest you think that I'm a... he doesn't even speak English as far as I'm concerned. But it was reckoned that this woman had spent... she had come to the end of herself. She had used up all her resources. So a wee bit like the prodigal son, she found that sense of desperation. And I think that, you know, I think that's okay. I would go with that. Mark tells us something interesting, that despite the fact that she'd used everything that she had, it was completely incurable. It says here, verse 26, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. It's interesting that the doctors cashed in on her condition, but they couldn't offer her any help. I see that happening, I think we all do. Things out there today, and even in the church, that promise, that this will make you better, that this will help. And people try every single one of them, and they come to the end of themselves and go, it didn't help. You find that? Underneath it all, the heartbeat of God, the gospel of grace, is the power of God for salvation. Just beating through this whole story. And Jesus, like he does in the Sermon on the Mount, is just going to completely mess about with all of us. Her bleeding, despite all of this, her bleeding physically, I think for most people today, there's that longing and that sense. Trying all these things, but it still gets worse. Still goes from bad to worse. That's the kind of the way I see it. There's in one of the papers I was reading this week, there was an article about a woman who had, for 20 years, she had a sore throat and a painful chest. And it said in the article in the Daily Telegraph, so it must be true, she'd made over 1,000 visits to doctors. Right? And they kept just diagnosing different things. So they said she had MS, she had tonsillitis and everything in between. Okay, there's a bit of a gap, isn't there, between MS and tonsillitis. And nothing that they prescribed to her worked. It was all just nothing worked. And the reason why it didn't work is they didn't correctly identify the cause of her symptoms. So think of all those years, 20 years of having her hopes raised, her hopes dashed. Hopes raised, hopes dashed. And basically being told this is incurable. And then they actually found out it was a rare bacterial infection. And they actually got to the very root of it. And now they're able to treat her and she's getting better after 20 years. It's really, really interesting. But the same thing today, this is why we need to have such confidence in what the Lord is doing with this gospel. Is that I honestly believe this woman shows us that it doesn't matter where we look or where we go or what we hope for. If we're not going to come to Jesus, we're not going to find anything. This was incurable. All of, and you could say today, oh, it's because those doctors were rubbish in those days. Our doctors, I have to say, seeing this week, I am so grateful to God for doctors. They are utterly brilliant, some of them. Caring, compassionate, brilliantly clever, brilliantly skilled, and we need to honor God for them and say thank you. Amen. And nurses, they just, and anyone who says they'll not give them a 1% pay rise, see me afterwards because it's a disgrace. Because they are incredible what they can do. But the truth of it is they can't solve the human condition. The restless hunger and unsatisfied thirst that we find ourselves, the desire for security, fulfillment, and peace that we all have, no matter where we go, it's not going to address the cause. You know, I think we can dull the symptoms. And we can create a sense, even create a sense of well-being. But unless the root cause is confronted, then there'll be no real healing. So what does Jesus do? Here's one little verse in this whole story which stopped me this week as I read it. Verse 27. First, when she heard about what? When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd. What was it in this woman's life that caused her, in the middle of debilitation, humiliation, being impoverished, having her hopes dashed over years and years and years, being an outcast, what was it that caused her to go, I'm going into the crowd? Was it the law? Was it that you must try harder? Was it the message that you're unclean? Was it the message, any of that? Who did she hear about? She heard about Jesus. Folks, can I say that this is the gospel of grace? In your life and in my life, in the people that you'll meet this week, they don't need to hear about anything else other than Jesus loves them. They don't need to hear about anything else but try harder. They need to hear Jesus loves you. Because whenever this woman heard about Jesus, what she heard about was a man who, whenever he confronted sickness, people were healed, who took the unclean and made them clean, who didn't judge her like for years and years like the religious people judged her. When she heard about Jesus, hope rose in her because there was no condemnation, there was no shame, and there was hope for her future. In the middle of it all, when nothing else would work, when she tried everything, given everything, and everyone was still saying, you're unclean, she hears Jesus. That's the gospel. When to people in today, whenever we hear Jesus, whatever your need is, can I say, hear Jesus? Hear about who he is. Hear about what he has done. Hear about how he loves you. Hear about how his work is perfect. Hear about how he took sickness and anxiety and depression and defeat, how he took lack, and he nailed it so that you would never have to walk in it. Hear that good news. Hear the good news that no matter what you do, he loves you still. He will never stop loving you. You cannot work your way out of his love. You cannot earn his love. You cannot perform so badly that he'll turn his back. Every day he says, I love you and I will never stop. Jesus alone. That's good news. That's the gospel. And what happens when we honor Jesus in our lives and in the lives of the people around us? Well, he honors his word with signs and wonders. That's what he does. And so this week, can I encourage you? Who is Jesus and what has he done? Oh my, what a mess. So simple, isn't it? And this week, when my heart was going, and I found the range of emotions dealing with not just my family, but having to help them through this stuff and all the rest of it, and work and all that kind of stuff. I had to keep reminding myself, Jesus, what are you saying here? What's your perspective? I'm feeling this right now, but what are you saying? And I find in such a peace, such a hope, such life this week. When I was trying hard, oh Lord, look at me, I'm running here and I'm running there and I'm supporting. No, whenever I just stopped and went, I can't do it, but Jesus, you can. It's not as I am and what I have done, it's as you are and what you have done, and so I receive. Your arms are wide for me, Lord, so I just receive it. When she heard about Jesus, I think, do you know why this church really matters? Because it's about time in this country where we said no more to religion, no more to all of that stuff, and just say, Jesus loves you. Unashamedly say, Jesus loves you. This is his gospel. And whatever your need is, in your debilitated state, in your humiliation, in your incurable state, if you've spent it all looking for something which is going to change you, and you hear about Jesus, you'll be well. Amen. Whatever you need, he is more than enough. That's why Paul says this is the power of God. This is the power of God. I love this. She heard about Jesus. All that religion could do was exclude her on the basis of who she was. Isn't that the same today? People get so fed up with the church and fed up with, and they actually get fed up with the Lord. Why? Because we have said you're excluded based on what you do. Where Jesus says, come as you am and I will love you into change. He says, you come as you are, but you'll not stay that way. I'll change you into my likeness. But you know what? Become first. And what happens is in this crowd, she hears about Jesus. Now, look at the way that she approaches him. This is really important because I want to encourage somebody. and I'm going to finish, and we're going to just have communion. I'm going to minister. Because here's what's interesting. She had been so long under condemnation. She had been so long under exclusion. This woman had lived so long with all of these things that I've described that when she gets into the crowd, she comes at Jesus from behind. Why would she do that? Because she didn't believe that she could come at him face to face because she was unclean. Now, the Lord spoke to me this week and said, Andrew, when you come to me, sometimes you come like the woman in the crowd. It's like, I'll just touch you from behind. I'll not even reach out and touch you, Lord. If I can just touch a wee bit of you. Do you get that? Sort of, if you can just help me with a little bit of what I need, but I can't even look at you. And what does the Lord do? He stops and he turns around and he looks at her and he looks at her face to face. All right? And what he is doing is he's demonstrating to the whole crowd. He's demonstrating to all the lawyers, all the legalists, all the perfectionists. He's saying, you call her unclean, but when the unclean touches the clean, I make her clean. Whatever you feel is dirty and unclean in your life, let Jesus touch it, and boom, in an instant, you'll be clean. In an instant, you'll be righteous. In an instant, you will be as holy as you will ever be. In an instant, you will be loved. In an instant, you will feel that fullness of Christ himself in you. Because here's the thing, under law, whenever you're under law, what they said is, if you touch somebody under the law, woman, we'll all be unclean. So they lived in fear. And Jesus steps right in and goes, no, come and touch me. Because I am so good that I will make you clean. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it so bad that we approach the Lord from behind sometimes going, I'm unclean. Thinking that somehow what goes on is we think that our stuff's going to tarnish him towards us. Isn't that right? Bonkers. Duh. Like, see, when we think about it, we think that we come to the Lord, and because we're not, in our reckoning, good enough, we need to come from behind, and we can't look him face to face because we're unclean. And if her whole thinking was, if I touch, whatever I touch becomes unclean, and the Lord stops, turns the crowd, and goes, who was it? Let me look. And he wasn't making a show of her. He was going, let me show everybody. All you finger pointers, because we all know what this woman's condition is. I'm looking at her straight in the face. We need to look at the Lord straight in the face with boldness this week. With big boldness and go, this is the power of God. This is the gospel of grace. This is the gospel of unmerited favor, which says I can walk through the crowd to my Savior and look at him and receive all that I need. Is that not good news? And whatever bit of me I judge to be dirty, you need to stop doing that because in Christ, you're whole, okay? Stop seeing yourself as a sinner because you're not. You're a son and a saint, and you are well loved. Amen? And even those bits of us that are still being transformed. When was she changed? When the legalists pointed their finger? When she touched Jesus. Unclean, instantly made clean. Unclean, instantly made clean. So why do we hold back? Let's not do that. Why do we not share this incredible gospel with people this week? Because the story we heard today, the testimony before this, when the unclean touches Jesus, something happens every time. You'll not walk away from the Lord disappointed. Never. I'd love to know more about this story. But what I do know is this, about how this guy ever got into this place. But what I do know is that as Billy just brings Jesus with him. See that touch? That's exactly what we're talking about. He physically touched that guy. And the tremors, the horrors go boom. Why? Because when the unclean touches Jesus, it's made clean. Amen. Love it. Now, is that not a good gospel, folks? Is that not a good gospel? Does that not put a smile on your bake this morning to go, seriously? My dad's bigger than your dad. Whatever is coming my way. That's a Belfast expression for you. People on the internet going. something about that. I want to encourage you today. This is an important lesson. Jesus says, come straight to me. Look me dead in the eye. This week, come with boldness and confidence. And you might be in that place where you go, it's always been this way. It's always. And that's why as a church, we're here. Not to give people 10 lessons to glory and 15 principles for good living and all the rest of it, but to free them from all that nonsense, to go, fix your eyes on Jesus. Look full into his face. And you'll be clean. In an instant, wonder what it was like for that woman walking away. Can you imagine, not just even physically feeling different, but the weight of all of that stuff going in an instant? I bet you she couldn't even believe it, even start to consider. You know, she probably would have worked that out for weeks and months. Just what did he do in me? What did he do? That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for you. I'm not ashamed of this gospel, because it's the power of God. Unto salvation, soteria, into freedom, healing, deliverance, peace, prosperity, wholeness. For everyone who works, no, believes. So today, Lord, we believe. Amen.